Welcome to 15 Minutes of Problem Solving Discussion with Fred Kuhn and our next guest.
Welcome, everybody. We have a great podcast today for those of you who are doing your duty for your country and out there protecting us. But you're going to get out. And so what is your intent and plan for transition, and to what end? And our expert guest today is Jason Ron Carotti. Jason, welcome.
Fred, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I want to just tell everybody, Jason's a retired lieutenant colonel, former battalion commander, graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point, holds a master's degree in organizational psychology, and you can read his bio on the website. So the question is, your intent for military transition. Why don't you tell us what intent is and why it's important?
Well, thanks, Fred. And the intent that I'm talking about is really analogous to the commander's intent that you receive from any mission statement that any military leader has executed from the Army. And the rule was always that the more complex the mission, the more important your commander's intent is. And what mission is more complex or difficult than the mission of military transition? So the really kind of the thought process behind that is okay, so for a complex mission like that, we need to formulate and articulate what our intent or our end state is for that mission.
What does that look like? There's a lot of components to it. You know, we're talking about this before the podcast. So why don't you lay out some of the construct of this?
Sure, Fred. So in the Army, we had a construct that was based on purpose, method, and end state. And what that is really your visualization of what does the world look like when we succeed, when, in this case, I succeed. And so you kind of start with that concept of end state. And we normally formulated that from the perspective of what do the friendly forces look like? What do the enemy forces look like? And what does the environment look like? When you leave the military, what you're trying to ascertain is where am I personally, where am I professionally, and where is my family? Who do I want to be? And it's really about the kind of long-term legacy that you want to leave and the impression of your impact on society. And that's really the first element. When you step into the method, what you're talking about are those key tasks that you need to achieve that end state. So in the Army, it was about, well, you have to achieve the key tasks in order to get to end state. If you fail to achieve a key task, you won't get to your end state.
We were laughing about that very thing. Columbus didn't start out saying, hey, there's water. I don't know where I'm going. He did say that. But I know where I'm. He said, I know where I'm trying to go. No clue how I'm going to get there, but I have a compass and I'm going west. At least he had some orientation and direction before he fell off the end of the earth. So what you're saying is you can't really be successful until you visualize what's the end outcome to, like you said, family, career, finance, whatever, geography, whatever.
Yeah, I agree, Fred. And, you know, it really comes down to when we start getting into the transition mode, when we don't have intent, we just start doing things to stay busy, right? You're going to update your resume. You're going to start networking. You may go to a career conference. You're going to be searching the website to take a look at different jobs. And all that is great, and all those activities are important. But to your point, Fred, you know, to what end?
Right, to what end am I? Yeah, that's right. You could ask that question, Jason, at the end of everything you do, to what end? How does it fit the pieces of the puzzle, the end puzzle? What's it look like?
And that's exactly right. And so, like, when you start doing these things, you're going to find that you're ineffective and not as productive as you could be. But if you really formulated that end state and identified those key tasks pertaining to your health, pertaining to, you know, your socialization, your cultural assimilation, you know, your family's adjustment, your idea of wealth and economic sustainment, and really your professional preparedness, you know, now you've got a really focused and definitive plan for how you want to go through the transition process so that, just like you said, you can achieve that end state.
I see a lot of executives in the private sector, too, who do not understand to what end. We always say that the drivers are challenge, fit, happy factor, geography, and money. One or some combination of those are the drivers, and those drivers really are the second step, or maybe they're part of that step of discerning what is the end state, to what end. If my portfolio was wiped out in 2008, then my drivers may be financial in the private sector, not the military. Others may be, I've drugged my wife all over the world for 26 years, and she says we're going to live in Tennessee. So there are certain drivers that, right. So, you know, everybody has a different set of drivers, and they form a lot of questions about to what end.
And I think you bring up a great point there in terms of our perspective, because a lot of those drivers before were determined by the military. But now all of that comes from you and your family. So if you ignore those constructs, you're going to end up with that wife who's very mad because you're deciding to take some job in Texas and she wants to be in Tennessee, which is a very important factor when you think about, you know, your life at the end of this military journey.
I know my father always, who was a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, he always said, well, I'd like to be near a post, you know, a base.
Right.
And, you know, he had reasons for that. He wanted some camaraderie with friends and associates, and he wanted the benefits of being near there and still kind of continuing his participation, and he achieved that. So it's sometimes little simple things that are very important. And if you ignore them and do the usual job search stuff without thinking through why and how and what's the whole puzzle look like, not just one piece. So the one piece is a resume. Great. Wrong resume, wrong direction. Another puzzle is targeting. Wrong targets, wrong career, doesn't achieve the end. You know, the pieces don't fit. I really like your statement we were talking about earlier, to what end? I think that is a great qualifying question.
Yeah, and you hit on something there, Fred, and what you said was, is why am I doing this? And that would be the third element, or the purpose part of the commander's intent, which is just a simple statement of action, impact. It can be a few words, you know? And I remember when I used to work in the Pentagon, that the kind of the rule of thumb was, is that if it took you a paragraph or two paragraphs to explain something, you didn't know really what you were talking about. And the point there is that your purpose statement should be very clear, definitive, and brief. And, you know, so often, Fred, I think we step off and we don't know the why. So we just start doing things. We focus on how we're going to get a new job without really understanding why it is that I'm getting that particular job. How is that going to make me fulfilled and give me that sense of, you know, happiness and that empowerment that I'm looking for that I used to have in the military?
It's like putting lipstick on a pig. It doesn't do any good, and it also annoys the pig. It's the idea that, you know, why are you going that direction when that's not really where you need to go? And so you really need to decide where you want to go and then work toward that very diligently and very in a very focused way.
Yeah. You know, I agree, Fred. And when we think about this, you know, as I was trying to help veterans as they're trying to, you know, really kind of focus and hone in on the accuracy of that life after the military, you know, it was, how do we use a construct that it's very familiar to military leaders and just repurpose it, you know, so that this complex and very difficult mission we can do. And not just do, but do extremely well so that we get everything that we want in that life after the military.
One of the things about my podcasts are we try to come up with things you can actually do, hands-on stuff. So how do you do this, right? How do you make this mission intent and visualization happen?
Well, the easiest way to kind of get with it is obviously you start with that end state. And what I would consider is, you know, just try and identify or imagine five words that you want to kind of characterize your next retirement from the civilian sector, as a small business owner, a franchise owner, and think about what you want those five words to be. It could be inspiration. It could have to do with your impact. It could have to do with your family. Everybody's words are going to be different, but that's your end state. And then when you look at your key tasks, you know, what I would recommend is take a look at your health, socialization, your cultural assimilation, professional preparedness, economic sustainment, and your family adjustment, and identify the most important thing through transition for each one of those elements. And when it comes to your purpose, it's very simple. Just what action word best characterizes you, and what's the impact you want to have from that action? And there you've got your purpose, your method, and your end state.
That's absolutely great advice, Jason. That's just, and it applies not only to those in military transition, but those executives who have been laid off or have been merged or acquired, no longer needed, or people who just want to change careers or look for new applications of their skills. It applies to everyone. Very, very salient advice.
Well, thanks. And I agree with you. It comes down to that Simon Sinek phrase of starting with the why. And once you can start with the why, you really kind of harness that intrinsic energy that you've got, that motivation from your core, that you can really achieve anything.
You can. If you want to, you can work at it and work very hard at it and get very close and many times exceed your own expectations.
Absolutely. And when we talk about commander's intent, you know, that's really what we're looking for. And, you know, you're right. I can't get this visualization of lipstick on a pig out of my head. But, you know, you don't want that for the next part of your life. You know, the military should be a step up. You know, everything you did in the military, you can repurpose into something bigger. But you really got to set your sights on that and, you know, kind of focus on what you're looking for. And the thing that I try to tell military leaders is that, you know, you would never execute a very dangerous mission without first fully internalizing that intent. And this mission is the second half of your life, maybe longer. So why not take a moment and formulate your own intent for you, your family, and the impact that you want to leave? It could take a day, it could take a week, but that time is very well spent, because you'll pay for it on the back end if you don't.
It is the best time anyone will ever spend, because it is your life, no one else's, and you're either going to have a happy factor in it or you're not. And that's entirely up to you. What I tell my clients is it's like interviewing and negotiating. You can be like the little boy in Oliver Twist standing there with your hand out saying, "May I have $20,000 more, sir?" Or you can be the person who leaves the room and they say, "Good God, we're lucky to get him for only $20,000 more than we thought we'd have to pay." It's that value that is completely in the control of the applicant, not the company.
What I would say to you, Fred, too, is when you think about that statement, when you understand your intent, imagine how much more confident you'll be when you're sitting
exactly.
in that interview.
Exactly.
Because you know who you are and you know exactly what you're looking for. And when that hiring manager or recruiter says to you, "Well, how are you going to help me?" You're coming from a place of your heart and you're kind of that intrinsic motivation where you know, you're not guessing. You're not trying to see if you can say the right things. You're speaking authentically and honestly. And I believe that that hiring manager or recruiter will leave that engagement, you know, with a better appreciation of, just like you said, your true value.
Right. You communicate a story of what the situation was. Why did they pick you? Could have picked anybody. What was the difficulty and level? How big a mountain was it? And then what did you do? And then what were the quantifiable, measurable results? And did you play well with others in that process? The behavioral component of this is so important as well. So you're going to share a story, and that story you're going to close on. And so that's where the hiring authority perceives the value. Got it from your gut. They can read it in your body language. They see the confidence, not arrogance. They have a good, solid story about that event or that competency that you're telling, and they get it. And that's where the money comes from. That's where the hiring, "Yeah, I'd like to hire you," comes from.
You know, and you're right. And just hearing you say that, Fred, like, when military leaders, we know when we receive a mission and the intent doesn't match, like, we can feel it. And these recruiters and hiring managers, chances are, they've been doing this for a while, especially as you start to look at more of these executive roles. So they're going to know when you're kind of selling them a story, you're trying to put that lipstick on a pig. And then, you know, they know that when you're actually having that big pig roast, they're going to be able to see the difference between both of those elements. And they're going to feel it when they walk away. And they're going to know, hey, man, even if you're not the right person for them, which is better to know in the beginning rather than the end, is that, hey, you know what? That guy was honest. He was authentic. And I get what he is and who he is.
I can't tell you how many times, Jason, that I have heard this from executives. They go in for one position, and because, as you say, their authenticity and their ability to communicate, there's either a position created or they think of another position in the company that's even better suited for them. I can't tell you how many times we have seen that. And it's because they're able to share that story. They're able to communicate their value.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, hearing you say that, it, you know, really kind of reminds me of that, you know, when you sit down and you have an interview, the object is the opportunity. And there is an expectation there having to do with a specific job. But the opportunity that you can actually create through that engagement by being yourself and clearly communicating your intent, you know, it leads to those kinds of opportunities for you. Just like you said, it could be even better than what you thought when you first entered the room.
Yeah, I've seen that over and over again. Folks, we have spent a wonderful 15 minutes here with Jason Roncaroni. You can read Jason's bio on the website. I hope you do. An outstanding performer and a thought leader on military transition. Jason, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.